Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
We give you glory and honor. We bless your name, O Father. Because we are students of the Spirit and we learn the things that are of this age. Now we thank you, Heavenly Father, because there has not been a time like this, so we shall not be governed by precedent or by history or by anything that we've had happen in the past. But we shall open our spirits that the Spirit of God will be our teacher and to take us into this moment, and we shall know the times that make for this season, and they shall not be hidden from our eyes. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So last week we were in Gulu on Saturday. Some people came back disappointed because it wasn't as big a conference as we had expected. But I came back happy because I do not walk according to my sight. I walk by what? By faith. And I was glad because the first place I really saw the end time message received wholeheartedly was Guru. It was received wholeheartedly, and the people there were so happy about it. And I've been in touch with some of the leaders from that place, and they were excited about it. So that was a wonderful thing. But also because our intercession team went there before and did some wonderful things in the run-up to the conference. So that really helped us a great deal. Praise the Lord. So that place is open in the spirit, and yet it had a lot of resistance. And the resistance was shown by the things that happened when you were coming back and so on. But you know the funny thing is, I actually said I knew that it was not a very good idea for you people to set off at the time you set off. I wanted you to delay there and set off at a time where you would arrive in Kampala in the morning. Now I knew why that was the case, because then some people came and told me they were there in the bus, but actually scared that they are going to arrive at 3 a.m. and they have no way of going where they are going to spend the night. Praise the Lord. But anyway, we learned a few things. And they are going to be very powerful things that will come ahead. Praise the Lord. And that's such a wonderful thing. And also, I'm glad that the magazine is already beginning to shake. Because I have a lot of report of criticism of it. You know, now criticism is the mark that you're having an impact. If nobody criticizes you, then you really have to wonder if you're doing anything. So the people saying that this escapist gospel we are going to escape is the one which is responsible for people not having dominion. Just give us a short time and we'll teach them about dominion. And then we'll see, because you see, that is a message that comes across from people who are so in love with the world that the idea that is about to come to an end scares them. And I wonder what is so good about this world. Praise the Lord. Like, what is so, you know? But of course, like, if it's all you've seen and if you've not had anything else that surpasses it, or even, you know, internalize that sort of thing inside you, then the world seems to be so good. And you think that, you know, why would anybody want it to end? It wants to, so you want to live until you're old and what? If you want to, you can do that. You understand? Because there will be a whole millennium of people who will not have been raptured and so on. So you can be among those. But for us, we'll be what? But then the funny thing is that even the people who have dominion, who those people see as if they have dominion, whose dominion of course is fading fast, they're also thinking of ways of escaping the earth. I told you that. But they want first to mess it up before they escape. They are thinking of, you know, Mars, over what, sustain life and so on. Somehow everybody wants to run away. Because there is a clear sense that something, that this whole thing is about to end. And now, while of course officially it will be denied, but at a certain level they know it is about to end. And no amount of talk of climate change and what will stop it from ending. And these seasons, when people see them, now tell you, people see seasons, even in around the, I'll give you an example. For instance, politically, now there are so many people who are saying, I'm going to stand. Why now? Because they can sense that this system is coming to an end. Now there might not yet be anything in the natural, but you see, when people sense things, they just act in a certain way without necessarily knowing why they are doing it. But they sense there is something that is about to change. Now, even the people who are in control of the system that is about to change are buying houses in Dar es Salaam and what, because they know their system is changing. Now, they will go on TV and radio and say, we are not going anywhere 10 years. I told somebody that I dare you, try to prop up somebody, you know, over 45th birthday and what. You saw that thing, You have somebody who has no character. He is a total, he's docile. You know what I'm talking about, Complete docile. He cannot even lead even a group of 5 people. But because he has the genes of a certain man, you think he's going to be president. He cannot be. I can guarantee you that. He will not be, cannot be, can never be. He has no grain of leadership skill in him. Some of you don't know whom I'm talking about. Because you don't read newspapers. So you don't see the man whom they made the 45th birthday. And it was on front page of New Vision. The trouble is that they were copying everything that you people did for me. And that's the truth, by the way. Now, if you want to know, I can even say something. Like one day I say, jokingly, I will ban OTT. Then the next day, some guy seriously says, when I become president, I'll ban OTT. Now me, I'm joking. Then people are taking these things seriously. You understand? But let me tell you, there's a reason I'm saying this, because I'm seeing some people who, who are here to hear that. So I want to tell them what they want to hear, so that they can go and report to their bosses, that the other man said this, Now let's see what they can do, Praise the Lord. Like that guy becoming president of who? This is not a monarch. A monarch is where every fool becomes president because he has the right genes. Praise the Lord. Anyway, anyway, let's move on. Now I've given them their message. You just watch, you're going to see them stand and walk. As soon as I go into the scripture, the people whom you see standing and walking, the one whom I dip this bread in the wine and I give, is the one who will betray me. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, so everybody knows there is a change. There's a system that is changing. And even the people who enter, they are like, there's one thing that amazes me about thieves. At the beginning of people being thieves, this is why we must have a perspective that is eternal. And the people whom I pity are those who are in these places like this, and they have a natural perspective of things which are going to dissolve in a very short time. And Peter says, book of 1 Peter, that knowing that all these things are going to be dissolved with fervent heat, what manner of people should we be? Seeing that you know that, 1 Peter chapter 4, I think. Knowing that all these things, or 3, I don't know, will be dissolved with heat, all this thing that people build and put their eyes on, knowing that it is going to be wrapped up and taken away, what manner of people ought we be? Or do we have, my English has escaped a bit. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, or in pursuit of things that are of an eternal nature? Because you see, the things of this world, you know, there was a lady who was saying how she had an experience in heaven, and she reached there and she found a young girl, and they were like at a beach, but in that world. So right at the beach, the young girl tells her that, a very young girl, but of course, you know, who was there, tells her that, come and build sand castles, because I see that is your favorite person. That's your favorite thing. You like building sand castles a lot. So build these castles with sand. Then she said, who told you that building castles with sand, you know, those things which kids do, is my... She said, don't you like it? She said, no, not really. I don't like building castles with sand. She said, but that's what you enjoy doing. And then basically, of course you build, then the water comes, and when the tide rises a bit, the water pushes it down. But what she was saying, what she was telling the lady, that all the things you're doing on earth are like sand castles. None of them is going to exist when you come here. It is all, you're wasting your time, you're building sand castles. And now, she was saying that there is actually something you can do and build something which lasts into eternity. Now, the fool has thought about the things of this earth only. And the funny thing is, they will think about them until the time of their last breath. And they have not considered that what comes after this. I was talking about some rich man here who used to be mayor of Kampala, who had what? Over how many hundred land titles of land in the city. So he's going to a lawyer to plead for another land title, and they tell him that he's sick. So they tell him, you know, you can sell one of these pieces of, because he has a liquidity issue. So they tell him, you can sell one of these pieces of land and actually go for treatment. He said, I cannot sell my land. That's the Situnda Daka. But you're going to die. Okay, what kind of stupidity is that? You understand? Like, you want to hold on to the money and look at it until you die. But you know, that is the curse of people who pursue the things of this world. The Bible says that he who loves silver will never get tired of silver. Now, that is a curse. There are people in this nation who are like, it's not even about what it can do for them. It is that they just want to see it and look at it. Then look at it, then they die. But man, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, man. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Now, that is the biggest curse. Now, I can tell you this. There are people in this nation, a very few echelon of people, who have robbed every resource of this country. And now I'm telling you, there is a lot of resources. And now you see, I get knowledge from people. Sometimes the Lord brings them, sometimes they bring themselves, because they are disgruntled. You remember what the Bible says? When David ran away, everyone was, you know, disgruntled. Ran to where? To him. So people come and tell me things and say, now, you know that place, they are mining a lot of gold there. Then they tell the people who carried to the airport are escorted by the military, and so on. But then, here is the thing that amazes me about theft. At the beginning, when people start stealing, it's just about themselves. You understand? So you're stealing because you want something for yourself. You don't necessarily have anything against the person from whom you're stealing. Okay? So if I steal Asanasius's money, I might even feel pity for him. Bambi, poor guy, but I need the money. You'll be fine. But I've stolen it. It's selfish. But then it doesn't stop there. At some stage of this, he will have silver, will not be satisfied with silver, I start feeling that Athanasius' money is mine. I have a right over his money. Previously, it was just taking and, you know, but now I start saying that, why should he have money? I have more need for money. You understand? Now, that's when people start getting spoiled. And that's when they start getting into being what the Bible calls the rich man, whom the Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man and rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the rich man is not anybody who happens to be rich. The rich man is just a certain attitude. Then after some time, you actually feel you want to, the theft has moved from that, and now actually you want to actively inflict pain on the people from whom you steal. You understand? Even if they have let you steal. Now, why do you think even these people, I'll give you an example of people who steal here in the world. At the beginning, they come snatch your wallet and run. They have nothing against you. But after some time, they want to beat you, even when you've given them your wallet. Why? Just like, how can you have a wallet and give it to me, then lie down? Like, something changes in them, and like, by the way, all these vices go in exponential, you know? And even virtues. Now, then you see the very people who are stealing every single resource. Now they are looking everywhere for any place where they can get money from people who do not deserve to have any money. So you are ready to collect university fees. So you see, the only place people are giving, where money is universities. So you say, now first bring the money to us. Then today I was reading in the monitor that now they're also going to take over sports betting. Now, after that, they actually want to take over church. That first bring your offerings to government. Then we see how much we will give the watchman. But this is where it's headed. Now, how can you see government taking over sports betting? Are you mad? What kind of stupidity? I mean, what kind of people are in charge of that, a government like that? The reason there is anything happening in sports betting is because they have made people so desperate that their only hope. Now, let me tell you this. When hope goes away, that's when the devil takes over. That's why the scripture says that First Peter chapter 1 verse 13. It says that, therefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The hope that comes when you have a revelation of Jesus Christ, that is, of what he has done. And therefore, when you carry that hope, you can't get angry at anybody who is rich, because something inside you tells you that you are also going to be like that. You can't be angry at somebody who is having a nice life, because you have a revelation inside you of Christ that it is also going to be true for me, even if right now it is not. But if I really believe the things that the scriptures say, and if I have Christ in me, there is no reason why I can't hope that I will also be like that. Now, when somebody has hope, there is... But you see, now when people come and they deliberately want to take away any hope, so people go to bed, and the only time he thinks he can get money to do anything serious is if the teams he betted on won. Now, government jobs, what he has given up on that. Now, then the very stupid government comes and finds him there. Very soon they will say, now even people giving money to street kids, you first give it to government. And we determine how much we are going to give what? Street children. They stop people from giving. Eh? That's the first step. The next step is going to be, okay, you give it to us. Now, why? Who is that? Now, these people are on their last lungs, I'm telling you. Eh? But they want to look at the money until they die. They want to look at it. Man, look at it, like that is the biggest curse. And then you don't, anyway. But you know, this is, that is why when we stand out from here, we are fighting back against a system that was taking the world over. Now, for instance, today, Roger here was telling me how the bill of same-sex marriage just was thrown out of the Kenyan courts. But the fact that it even went there in Kenya, not in America, not in Britain or where else, they are Kenya. Same sex. Man, they are at our doorstep. You understand? And now everybody is looking. There is something special about Uganda. Actually, I was talking to somebody who told me, you know, now these are stories we never really got to know because of the way history is built and so on. Now, the Matters Day is coming. When is it? Which day is that? Not this Monday. No, the next Monday. Now, somebody was telling me that the true story of the Uganda Martyrs is that there are these people, because you see, the missionaries came and translated the Bible with the help of, you know, some people into Uganda. Now, when these people actually started reading the scriptures, some of them got a revelation of Jesus as king, because they understood what a king is, because they were living in a kingdom. So they got a true revelation of Jesus as king. And now they could no longer pay complete subservience to an earthly king, because they even told him to his face that there is a king of kings, and you are just, you know, he's higher than you and everything. Now, and apparently their revelation was even bigger than the missionaries who had preached to them. Because, see, God always has his ways of doing things. Eh? So the missionaries came with religion. These people actually saw something different. And they were mostly actually Protestant people. So they saw something different. Then they got a true revelation of the king and the kingdom of heaven. And now they became radicals. And now apparently so many people were converting. And especially palace guards and people were converting. And these people are now converting people. Now even the people who had preached to them the gospel earlier became threatened. So when they were, so the missionaries are the ones who went and told the king that these people have become rowdy. The very guys who preached to them the gospel said these people have become rowdy, so you have to do something about them. So they warned them. They said, no, we are not scared. So now when they started, of course they were killed over a period of time, not all of, you know. Now the first ones who got killed and they are singing when they are being burnt, immediately other people started converting. So now they were throwing the whole Paris in disarray. You know, those things never have the impact that they are meant to have, eh? The scaring and so on. So anyhow, so now you find that even if religion has taken over that story, it had nothing to do with Catholic over to serve, you know what, eh? But of course those who go there think that, but it had nothing to do with that. There is nobody who is going to die for the Catholic religion, I can guarantee you that. If they did, let another Catholic come and die now. And they tie you in reeds and throw you in fire, and you're dying because of saying to what, pray for us. Like, what makes somebody give up their lives is there is something deeper that they have seen. It cannot be that religion. It can never be, I can guarantee you that. Not Catholics, not Protestants, nothing. They have to have seen something deeper than that. But of course, the Catholics took it up and added rosaries and water, dirty water which they give people to drink. And so on. Yeah. I'm told now they called the National Water to come and check the water. Good for the Catholics. Now, anyhow. So now that thing actually. So you see, there is no country where there has been such a story on this continent. Now, then you see that over a period of time, then people come and start talking about this country as if there is something special about it. Then now, you see so many powerful men of God just want to come to Uganda for the sake of coming to Uganda. Some of them even end up in fake churches. Eh? Like there's one who is going to the other guy on Entebbe Road. Eh? The guy on Entebbe Road is, you know him, eh? Very fake guy. But somehow Uganda is calling. And the thing is now, none of you people actually see this, but the truth is, they are powerful men of God who just, the word Uganda is reverberating somewhere in their mind. So they are not going to consider themselves. I remember even now, powerful men of God like Bill Winston. He says he wants to come to Uganda. But the problem is, he didn't know whom to connect with. So he went and got some of these really, really, really frozen, chosen pastors. Eh? And the guys just chewed his money. They chewed his name because of Bill Winston is a very rich man. You know, he's one of the sons of Kenneth Hagin. And they got that prosperity anointing. So they have it like this. So they are lavishing money. That one even owns a bank. So, but he wants to come and preach in Uganda, and he's a powerful man of God. I love him so much, Bill Winston. Now, but he's willing to spend, how much money is it going to cost for you to mobilize and what? He reached that place. He was at Serena, and they could not even put together a projector like this. His heart sank. You could see he was so disappointed. And he just boarded a plane, his plane, and went back to America. All those people have private jets, by the way. Now they are all those sons of Kennedy. The other day I was watching one of them saying that, like, I have enough money, I'm satisfied, but my faith is not satisfied. So he said, the Lord told him, is that the best you can do? Is that the best you can believe for? He said, what kind of plane do you have? So he said, I don't know those planes. So he told him, he has this. He said, is that the best you can believe for? He said, no. He said, why don't you go higher? So then he said that immediately the Lord told him, go higher. Then the thought that crossed his mind was, how am I going to pay for it? Then he said, I remembered what the Lord told me in 1978, that I didn't tell you to pay for it. I told you to believe for it. Now, the thing is, the reason people disconnect themselves is they go into, how am I going? Now God is saying, just believe for it. Now, of course, when he said that, then the secular media landed on it. Greedy pastors, prosperity, what? Within a few weeks, he had bought it, and then he said, I bought it, and I'm even looking to buy another one. But then, those who are caught up in the culture of the day, Now, the other day I was saying, I will not even mention her name because I love her so much, but she was saying prosperity is fake, what? And we've been listening to her for so long. I'm sure you know whom I'm talking about. Then, there is a culture that if you are not careful, and if you don't know that Jesus said, those who give up their what? Remember that scripture I told you from Mark? They will receive 100-fold in this world with persecution. You cannot remove that. But I would rather be persecuted for being rich than for poverty to persecute me. There is no worse persecutor than poverty. I know it. Okay? So you would rather say what you would rather say what you have to say. Because until you can get this world on their terms, you understand? I was telling somebody about an experience I had flying one day, and where you're treated as you go here with your Ugandan passport, and man, you're really treated like vermin. And yet when I come to Uganda, I'm like a serious guy. But when you step away from here, man, like you doesn't realize you have no rights, so you just have to. So I was in an airport somewhere in America, and I don't know why me. People were going through, you know that, and that was around, I think 4 years after the, 3 years after the 9/11. It must have been around 2004. So they are going through the check, and I'm even leaving their country. So a lady calls me out and says, first come. So I said, what does this lady want from me? So she puts me aside, gets my luggage, opens it, and then gets something and starts running it over everything of mine, including my, you know, undergarments and what. And then she's running everything on and then doing what. Then she told me, take off your shirt. I said, excuse me. I said, your shirt. So I took off my shirt. Now I was what? Bare chested. Thankfully, like, I'm well marked. So I look good without a shirt. If I had a big stomach like Ruego here, I would scare people away. But my six pack somehow looked good. Then then she told me, okay, now your trousers. I said, what? And she just went, trousers. So I said, this chick. So I took off the trousers. Then she puts me, I'm telling you a true story. So there is a there's like a thing where you sit there and it's as if X-ray, and then you turn around like this. Man in just boxers. Now I was saying, now this chick is going to say, take off your boxers. Praise the Lord. So I left. Now imagine if I'd landed there in a private jet. Can they take me through all that? Like money. Money answers all things, the Bible says. Like you can arrive in a way where everybody says, man, he has arrived. You understand? But if they convince you that there is any glory in poverty, you're finished. Now, top American preachers, they are there believing that, you know, there's something wrong with, you know. And you see even that thing there, somebody says, so where do you get the money from? So how do you get the money? And I say, it's none of your business. But looks like I have some of it. And I'm living a good life. And not being apologetic. But the spirit of the world that comes, okay, that comes to despoil people's opinions. Now we are, you see the magazine we sent out, because we are going hard against things which people thought they had already, you know. So now we have to go for young children. We have to go for university children. Now the mistake so many believers make is to think that you are going to get a 4 or 5 year old and start teaching her super book. Eh? That the story of what, then what? Yet when you finish teaching that children's things, as soon as she turns on the TV, they are teaching, they are putting on things which even their parents would cringe at. So you now, I used to think then, until I saw young children, you tell them end time message and they are all like, what? And they catch on it. Then they say, hey, so we underestimated our children. We thought they are too young to hear these things. But the truth is, the world doesn't think they are too young. So the world for it, it starts on them when they are still young. So by the time you come in with their things, you're already going up against the tide. Praise the Lord. Now that is also true for the church and spirituality. Which I remember the other time when I was at our partners meeting, I told some of the people who were there that, you know, now, because they come and give us testimonies of things which happen. Now I told them that I want, you were there, Richard. I want you to come and tell me that something happened in your business and you pulled it off supernaturally. Something where you have an advantage over the common person. Because if you go and do business or work or any such thing, and you have no control over an outcome because of your spirituality, then what is the purpose of you coming to the watchman and listening to this? There has to be something of, I forced this person to sign in the spirit. I did this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because this is the time we are entering. Now, I told it to them 2 weeks ago, and even Prophet confirmed it, that there is this thing where God now is saying everybody has to be involved in the supernatural living. Even children. People have to get into to learn the craft of supernatural living. To know that you don't do things naturally, you do not expect things naturally. If you are going for anything, now if it's even above Joseph's generation, if you're going for anything, you have to know that I have a control over this man. He cannot say no. I sorted him in the spirit. I'm going expecting a yes. And you go there with that certainty. At least then, if you give me that testimony, I would say, okay. But if your testimony is, I got promotion. And then I ask you, how did it come? Okay, about 10 people were promoted. I'm bored. Okay, it's good you got promotion. But I want it to be where I felt I needed promotion. And I got my boss and I sorted him in the spirit. And the next day he came and told me, you are the one I'm going to be promoted. Then now that testimony will excite me. The others, you are just like an ordinary, you know, ordinary human being. Now you have, where is Miriam? She's not here. Hey, she told me she was going somewhere. Now she was writing this thing about Egypt. You know, Egypt rising, Egyptology. You know, gods of Egypt. One, gods of Egypt. Two. Now there's a lot of talk about Egypt and a lot of search into the pharaohs and what. And I told you here previously, even the sign, this sign which they do, Akanda, is demonic, and what it stands for. It actually means in their world a complete transformation of things, turning things around, which is what they have always wanted, to turn everything on its head. Did you hear that even pedophiles now have applied to enter the LGBT ba-ba-ba-ba community? Now, if they do, that means they'll be untouchable in those stupid countries. Because the LGBT is already what? Untouchable. So if they join, they will also be untouchable. And now there are so many people saying, you know, you have to handle them with understanding. Over what? Over blah, blah, blah. And now, incredibly, there are people who actually, even some Christians saying, no, you know, yeah, we cannot condemn people. You know, he who is without sin. man, Christians can be doofies. Christians can, by the Christians can be doofies. I am not going to be that kind of Christian. I am not going to be that kind of Christian. Because if Egypt is rising and people are coming with that kind of spirituality, there is no way you can encounter that spirit unless you learn how to the craft. Go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Then it says, then Moses answered and says, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Now, here is the thing. Go and tell my people that I am coming soon. That Jesus is coming soon. Then, but what if they don't believe me? Even after I've quoted the scriptures and what? I have to be able to pull off something supernatural, because they will not believe. So what makes somebody believe out there? This message. So Moses comes and says, God has spoken to me, who are not there. He said, this is this and this, who are not there. The time has come for Israel to be rescued from Egypt, who are not there. It is hearsay. Mbu. Okay. Now, then God takes him through training for the supernatural. Now, people have to understand that the supernatural thing, like the supernatural things, are just what? It's a craft. Okay? It's a craft. It's like learning how to, anything that you learn through practice. It's a craft. I'll give you an example. If, have you seen those guys who juggle balls? And shoo, then they put it up, then put it here, then do what and what? The only difference between them and you who cannot even hit once is that they practiced. You understand? For them, also them, they started when they juggle once, then it runs, then they follow, chase it, then get it, then try again. Shoo, then they chase it. Now, after some time, it's two, three, then they become more confident. Now, that's how spirituality is. The thing is, there is no science to it. It is a craft. There is no science to juggling a ball. Amen? Is there any science to it? Is anybody who is gifted in juggling a ball? No. Even me, I can do it if I give it time. And I also do those things. Putting here, then I do this, then I do that. I can do it. Some of you don't believe, but I can. Your unbelief does not take anything away. So it became a serpent. Now, this is something that Moses is not accustomed to. So he ran away from, fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand. Now, of course, the scripture knows how to summarize things, but now I've taught you one trick. Now, if spirituality was not important, why would God be teaching him these tricks? Then he, okay, in his hand. Okay, go ahead. That they may believe that the Lord God of you have, you've jumped. Go ahead. First go to them. Okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach, and take it. Verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord of God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. Then he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. Okay? That is insurance policy. Then he said, and it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land, the water which you take from the river will become blood on dry land. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, now you see he went into his excuses. But now when you go to where he actually met the elders of Israel, go there, they did not believe the first sign and the second sign. If he had just gone and said, okay, now I know how to turn a stick into a snake, I've gone. he would have gone there and said, okay, that's good, but I still don't believe. So he needed all three insurance policies. Go to where he actually meets them. And praise the Lord. Now, the other day someone was telling me that he had a dream where I was telling him that now we are going to meditate on lifting things without using our, you know, without using anything. So you put a thing there and meditate it until you lift it up with your mind. Eh? Now, he said that so he said he would be at home and I would be I'm at home and we are all practicing. And we actually knowing what each other is doing. But then the first thing he did is he said he went to his home and he was listening to my message of spiritual portals. So he was listening to spiritual portals and so on. Then he said, now he wants, I'm creating a portal in my house. So then he meditated from his house. Phew, as if there is no roof or ceiling or what. Then he meditated and stayed there, a portal. Then the next thing he knows, he's actually seeing himself up right there. And now he's seeing himself in his room meditating. But now there's a part of him there. But then he got scared a bit. Then he's back in his body. But you see, at least he sampled. Praise the Lord. He sampled. Now, the thing is, try this at home. Eh? They've been telling you don't try this at home, but I'm telling you try it at home. Because when I had a dream the other day about the rapture, and in the dream actually, the rapture was about to happen, but all of us were living those lives of supernatural where you know what somebody is doing without being there and so on. And then I realized that actually the Lord said that this is the kind of church that there is going to come for. A church that is, how did somebody put it? They said, before the church goes to heaven, the church has to first bring heaven to earth. Okay? So that there is a oneness. Actually, the rapture is a oneness between heaven and earth. You understand? That thing of, because in the Old Testament, as you know, everything has a precedent in the Old Testament of Enoch, who was one with God, that this world just gave him up. Okay, you go, you belong there. Now, that is the rapture. Now, that is us, praise the Lord. Where we actually bring, heaven is open and we're also in heaven. So now, there is a oneness between heaven and earth. And that is the final thing that happens before the rapture. So that when the rapture happens, actually, we are not going to places we don't know. Eh? Because you see now people who have lived this earth and they don't know anything. When you die and in Christ, they send you angels. Eh? To come and what? To come and get you. Because you would get lost. You might end up in hell. Yet you're born again. But now when you know these things, I was hearing some guy who died, some American prophet called Bob Jones, a very powerful prophet. Like, is there every minute? So one day this guy has, you know, this Baptist guy, Baptist preacher. So he says he doesn't believe those things and so on and what. Then, like, Bob Jones was talking to some other guy. Then the guy had an experience and had gone to heaven. And when in heaven, he was seeing things, but when he looked at the side, he saw this Bob Jones giving orders to angels. And he's giving them orders and what. So he came down. So he said, when I was, you know, I went to heaven and what. So this guy just says, did you see me? He said, did you see me? He said, yes, I saw you. You see what I was telling the angels? He said, yes, I saw you. Now, he thought that it was those visions of this guy is here. But he was actually there and he's seeing him. Then he comes down. Then some Baptist guy says that, I don't believe in, they're in a bus. He says, I don't believe in your things and what. Then says, by the way, I was in your room last night. Your hotel room last night. Then he says, what I mean? What do you mean? I was there with you. He said, no, you are not there. I was there alone. Then he told me, by the way, you are not even alone. You are with a certain woman. Eh? Now this is a Baptist preacher of holiness. Holiness. Holiness is all I need. So he tells him, no, actually, you are not alone. You are with a certain woman and what? Then the guy starts crying. Now, how do you deal with somebody who has determined he does not want to believe anything supernatural? You just mess him up like that. Now, then he just gives him a sample of what he saw. Then he said, okay, it's okay. If you don't want to believe, you don't believe. Then he walks away. Then now the Baptist starts following him. Okay. Now, but here is the point. Some of those people who lived in that era were having a foretaste of what God is now asking us to do. So don't come and like, okay, would you see, oh my God, I got a deal, I got what? Unless there is something supernatural you did, I will struggle to take off my earphones when I'm listening to music. I want to now know that if there is something powerful that happened, it was not left to the realm of chance that, you know, somehow, then, you know, you had a specific input in it and say, I knew I messed that guy up. Praise the Lord. Now, remember, it's a craft. There is nobody who is experienced at juggling balls. There are only people who have practiced it long enough to be good. Praise the Lord. So now some of you are going to get into the realm of practicing something. You can even start wherever you are. Start wherever you are and do something, at least small. Mpola. Now let me give you the easiest way of doing it. Then I finish. Praise the Lord. The most important time, by the way, to get that thing, first of all, the biggest barrier to it is the mind. Okay? The reason somebody can lift up this thing, this mineral water, and lift it up is because they can focus their mind long enough for you click. Now, if your mind is, you will not do anything. But then also the mind needs training. There is nobody who starts with their mind like this. They train it to focus on one thing. It's a training, and you go through it and train your mind to think on one thing. Then when you do that, now you can start. But then the obstacle of the mind, that's why the best time for people, even starters, to receive things which are spiritual is when they are what? When they are asleep. Because when you are asleep, your mind is not an issue. Praise the Lord. But now when the dreams, but now you see, you can tune yourself in such a way that your waking up time is so special. Now you see, if you want to watch a movie or do what, don't do it as the last thing before you sleep. You will remain carnal all your life. You understand? Or something, whatever. You watch it at another time, what? Then now before you're going to sleep, tune your mind in a certain way. Like if you can get like a scripture or something and meditate on it and build this, or even something you want to, something, you know, of a spiritual nature, and give yourself time for meditation, even if it's 15 minutes, and then take all the, you know, what you've watched out of your mind. Because you see, there are people who are very find it so easy to capture things which are fake, but find it so difficult to capture positive things. And they will see a sad movie and they will meditate on it for 3 days, and they become sad people because they easily receive messages which are negative, which are sad, which are melancholic, which, you know, those things. Then there's somebody who hears a sad thing and say, oh, sorry to hear that, but God is good, what? And now those people actually, by way of practice, invite to themselves positive things, because that's how they have set their minds. Now anyhow, so I'm telling you, before you go to sleep, think about something powerful, okay, of the spiritual nature. Let that be the last thing you have in your mind before you sleep. At the beginning, it might take you even all of 30 minutes or even an hour to capture anything, because you've had a very busy day of, you understand, up and down and up and down, so you kind of cannot capture that. Then you take your time and try. Of course, the time reduces. After some time, just 5 minutes is enough for you to tune your mind in a certain way. Then you sleep. Then now the mind captures that thing, and somehow the turbulent mind goes to sleep. Then your spiritual mind is alive, is, you know,
is awake. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Start from verse 22, I think. Okay, 20, I think. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. Now here is the thing. The Lord, the Spirit of God teaches you the craft. The way the Lord was teaching Moses. Like there is a teaching. But now he tells you what it takes. If you have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus. Now there is, it talks of Christ. Christ means the anointed one, the anointing, the office for which we belong. Now Jesus is the one who held the office, but now Christ is involves all of us. You understand? We are in Christ. Okay? We are in Christ. We're also in Jesus, but it mostly says we are in Christ. You understand? In the office now. If indeed you have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now go ahead. That you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, of course, when people hear lusts, they think of one thing, okay? But there are so many lusts, even all the things that occupy people's minds, you know, of this thing, what I have to do, this I have to do, that I have to. Now, that is the worldly, that is the message of the world, you know, the world condensing its message in your mind and making you want to stay in that place where only thing that matters to you is what, you know. But then it says, you put off that old man, okay? Now, notice, it talks of putting off as if it is as simple as me putting off this coat. Because it is. You understand? Because there is that part which you have on you. Maybe you've been thinking about work, deadlines, what, you know, these numbers which you are supposed to do. Then you come off and put off that man of those things of the world. Because now you want to put on something different. Now it says, go ahead. Then it says, and be renewed in, not in your mind, in the spirit of your mind. You understand? Now, it does not say be renewed in your mind. It says that elsewhere in Romans 12. Here, but here it says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's a certain spirit that determines your mind, your mindset or something like that. Or in other words, be renewed in your spiritual mind, okay? Not your natural mind, which has calculations and all those things and, you know. Now, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the old man. You cannot be renewed in the spirit of your mind before you put off the old man with all his lusts, with all his cares, concerns, what, you know, these things you have to do and so on, which everybody perhaps goes through. And am I going to do that now? How am I going to do this? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to buy this? How am I going to... Now, when God says that, I did not tell you to pay for it. I told you to believe for it. He's saying, take it out of your mind. In your mind, there is no way you're going to get the money to pay for that plane. But now take it to the spirit of your mind, a place where it is easy for you to capture that all things belong to God and he can give me as he wills. So if he wants me to have that plane, who can stop him? You understand? Now, but you can't figure that in your mind. So, but you have to put off then, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Go ahead and says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. The new man inside you, whom you can put on as easily as you can put off the old man, and as easily as you can put on a jacket, put him on, and he was created in God. He sees things from God's standpoint. He sees the abilities that God has of, you want a private jet? Is that the best you can do? So the guy was saying, now the funny thing is this, let me interject. I was seeing the message when another preacher was abusing them, that is pride. That is a pride. There are so many poor people. How can you, what? Now that gospel of poor people, social gospel, Jesus said the poor will always be with us. So they are not my responsibility. Praise the Lord. Unless the Lord tells me to do something for them. But Jesus said the poor will always be with you. Always. There is not going to be. So if somebody deceives you that you will only buy a private jet when there are no poor people, that money has messed you up. Because then you will never. You understand? Because they will always be there. And remember remember who said it? Judas. How can you put such an expensive perfume? Why waste? Do you know Jesus said that they are wasting an expensive perfume on Jesus? That is the same spirit which says, how can a man of God drive a Range Rover? Judas Iscariot. Because who is supposed to drive it? Who is supposed to use a perfume? You understand? How can you say, okay, if I got an expensive perfume and they gave it to me or they lavished it on me and somebody said it's a waste, that means that person despises me. But if I baked a cake and put on icing and what, and gave it to a pig, then you say that's a waste. You understand? But perfumes are made to be used on people. Is there any better use for perfume? So if he says that you're wasting it on Jesus, it means that he's what? He despises him. Then he says that. And now he says that, why don't you sell the perfume and give it to the poor? And Jesus says, you cheer. You put the perfume on my foot. The poor you will always have. This is my commandment. What? To also have, what may you put? Because that is the gospel of Judas Iscariot. That why was now. So who is supposed to drive good cars? Nobody complains when, anyhow. But praise the Lord. But you see the reason sometimes we preach these things is because that spirit seeps into the church. And then the world starts questioning, yeah, but what? And I've met people who are born again. They say, yeah, but okay, why must he have two? At least if he had one. The trouble is when he had one, they were also complaining. Then you realize that when you have the new man who was created in God, you can just look and say, hey, I want like one like that and also like that. Now, without any means, natural means to get to it, but there is a witness inside you that you are also a child of God, and your father is rich, you understand? And his resources are never going to run out. So you don't get angry. You just say, the Vogue, I don't like it a lot. But meanwhile, you don't even have like even 100K in your account. Now, when that happens, then you know that you have put on the new man who was created according to God. Because there is a thing which shows you that also me. Then now you're looking at things which you, in the natural, you have no business even thinking about. Now, the people who get angry don't see a path to it. But the minute you see a path to it and say that, I can also have that. I can also, but I think mine, I don't want this color. I want this one. Then you even say, let me look at the colors. Even go to your Google. Sometimes you don't even have the data. But you go. But now, then you know that, like when you become crazy like that, now you've put on the new man who was created according to God. Because the new man has no consideration for any other thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. For what? You've learned how to take the kingdom of God like a what? Like a child. That is the beauty of it. Because let me tell you, schools are starting on what? On Monday. Now my children expect to go to school. They don't want to know where I get the money to pay school fees or if I even have it. It's none of their business. School starts. Somehow you have to sort yourself and we go to school. So even you say, my father is rich. Somehow I also want that one, but I prefer a red one. You understand? Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall by no means enter it. That's what it means to be a child. Like, it's time for school. There has to be. I'm going to school. Now, they don't ask me that. Do you have money for school fees? Do you have money for school fees? Where did you get the money? None of their business. For them, their business is here to get. And not just to school. Because maybe school is not the most pleasant thing. But anything. I want this. I want that. I want that. Sort yourself out. Me, I want it. She says, spoiled children, you'll be fine. Praise the Lord. Now, a new man was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay? Now, you can leave it there. Now, this man whom you put on, this thing you put on when you're going to sleep, that is so important because now, let me tell you, the most powerful dreams you will have are those in the morning when you're waking up. Now, when you actually perfect that moment and you do it over and over again, they become more and more and more powerful. And then one day the Lord told me that not just that, but even the first thought that comes to your mind when you wake up, that shows you where you stand, okay, in the spirit. Now, that day, I had that moment. I used to practice, so I had that moment. So in the morning, I just have this thing where I'm lying on top of some mountain watching, seeing the city. The city of, I don't know, it looked a bit big, better city than Kampala. But then I was watching over it. Then I started saying, the words I was saying were, I have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. So I started saying, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I started saying it over and over and over again. Then suddenly I started soaring in the air. Then now I could see the city from down. Then I soared. Then I soared until I started hearing voices in heaven. Now I was hearing people talking. And I was trying to figure out what was being said. And then I soared higher. Then now the words were just beginning to become legible. Then I had a voice telling me, that now you're going to wake up. And let's see what the first thought will be that you have as soon as you wake up. Then I heard those words. Then the next thing, I opened my eyes, and the first thought that came to me, what am I having for breakfast? Then I realized I've messed up, man. I realized I've messed up, so I realized that now I have to what? I have to stand up a bit. Eh? Now, that shows you that you are thinking at the level of Mary. Anyway, in my defense, that was like 5 or 6 years ago. Now, some of you, it might even be worse than food. Eh? You might wake up and you have something weird on your mind. Eh? Praise the Lord. Anyhow, so, having done that, so program, you know that thing is a programming. Eh? Program yourself in those final moments. Eh? And then you'll see, that's actually when you have the most telling dreams. Okay? Dreams where you actually wake up and you're there. All the dreams I've had when I wake up and I'm, not wake up, but I'm waking up, but I'm in a place. And I'm doing something, or I'm seeing something. I'm seeing people doing certain things. Even this morning, was set yourself. Then you wake up, and then you don't know when the like. Anyhow, but it tells you a lot of things. So I've told you enough for today, okay? So just go and practice. So now, if you come with a testimony, make sure there's, don't forge, eh? Let me tell you, Prophet told me some years ago that the Lord told him, if you ever settle for something fake, you'll never get the real thing. You understand? Eh? So if you go, if you have not had anything, it's okay. Continue trying, you'll have it. But don't get into that deceit of, you start giving experiences which are not there. Eh? Now you have just cut yourself off the real thing. You understand? Eh? And I see so many people are like that. So many people. They even forge prosperity levels. They forge what? They forge. Like they have no sense. They are the real horses. Eh? You understand? Eh? Somebody has a powerful testimony at a certain level. And it's powerful enough. But he feels he has to embellish it a bit and add some, butunguru. So he expands it and then he takes away. Like if he had just told it in its simplicity, it would have been the foundation on which bigger things are built. You understand? Eh? But don't try to embellish testimonies. Don't try to embellish means dress up and put on what? Then put a label here, then a pocket square, then another pocket square here. Then what? Leave the testimony as it is. If God paid your 1 month rent, by the way, that is a powerful testimony. Because where does the money come from? Do you understand? Eh? Until somebody has seen something real, where you knew I had no option. There was nothing. I was not looking anywhere. And somehow God made it happen. And then you just give the simplicity of the testimony. People don't have to think it's big. If somebody has had a testimony of 100 million, that's okay. For you, if your rent of 300K was paid, that is a powerful testimony. Now, if you give it in its simplicity and don't try to expand it and make it better, you will eventually get to the 100 million. You understand? Eh? So even in these things, if you have not, somebody says, I had a vision. If it's a dream, call it a dream. Like, watch out, Tawanya. Like, there is a difference between a vision and a dream. But because you want to sound super spiritual, I had a vision. And yet you were sleeping and you had a dream. Now, a dream is good enough. Eh? Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, a dream is good. Eh? Yes. Eh? So don't try to make it a vision when it's a dream. Eh? Then they make it look like somebody appeared to me. But you are dreaming. And that's powerful. Praise the Lord. Okay. That is enough for what? For today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ho ho. Rika bazante reveshiko grozira makuba sila marashate. You come here, this gentleman. First come. Yes. You speak tongues? You speak in tongues? No, you don't. Eh? Okay. Are you born again? How long have you been born again? Okay, now today, anybody who does not speak in tongues, just stand up. Eh? Stand up. Stand up if you don't speak in tongues. And of course, if you don't, there's nothing wrong. Eh? Otherwise, you also become fake. Eh? Sing us a song. Come forward if you don't speak in tongues. Everybody who does not speak in tongues, come forward. Now, those who speak in tongues, start speaking in tongues. Yeah, even kids.
you speak in tongues? Stand up, everybody. Get me another mic. Sarah, you come. You continue singing. Okay, now I want you to do this. Eh? She's going to pray in tongues. You just copy her. Eh? Just copy her. Eh? Eh? You understand? Eh? Just say what she's saying. Eh? Say what she's saying. And just do that. Eh? Okay? You know, here is the thing. Eh? Some of you look so indifferent, eh? Like as if so distant from what you're trying to do. Eh? Like, I want you to have faith that something is going to happen here. Eh? Some of you are looking like this, as if you're watching some, you know. Like, be involved, eh? Like, open your spirit, because it's going to happen shortly. Now, you just speak out, eh? Speak out, just say what she's saying. Okay, bring her.
Security or something like that. What do you do?
I'm an operative.
Oh, an operative.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I do basically engineering works. I do truck inspection, and then also sometimes do some work in the petroleum industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you're in security?
No.
Hmm?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hold my hand. Who is called Okelo?
Who is called Okello? Somebody called Okello? What's your name?
Jimmy who? Achelon.
You know somebody called Okello?
Okay, hold on.
Where is your work? Is it best here or somewhere in northern Uganda?
No, Viva Energy. Seventh building.
Okay. Okay. Now, the Lord is promoting you and putting you in a place of favor in the name of Jesus. And you are not married, are you?
No.
I'm seeing something in that area. Somebody who is going to come with a great deal of. But you're seeing somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in the name of Jesus, the Lord blesses you in that area. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And something happens there that lifts you up. Eh? Lifts you up, and all the resistance, like all the uncertainty in that area, especially from your on your part, now is lifted in the name of Jesus, because the Lord is doing something in that area, and you actually are on the right path, but you're uncertain. You're very uncertain about it, but that's true.
Yes.
Okay. But now the uncertainty is lifted, and you know what you're supposed to do, and that person comes with, I see you've been working in that place for like a period of 1, 2, 3, 4 years. How long have you been working there?
Coming to 11 years now.
11 years.
Yeah.
But in that same very position, like how long? Because I'm seeing like...
Okay, that you, very earning. Position is 5 years now.
Okay.
Almost five years.
Eh?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm seeing a yearning for promotion, you know, why isn't this, you know, why have I been stagnant for all this time and so on. Eh?
True, I've now, actually complained to my boss.
You've complained to your boss.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Now, the message from the Lord for you today is that he who finds a wife finds thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Eh?
Amen.
So she comes with great news for your workplace. Eh?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, okay, I'm also seeing things where you have not been very fair to her. You've not been very kind to her. Eh? You're not going to say amen to that, but it's the truth. Eh? And you've been, you know, and she's also you've also kept her waiting. Eh? True?
Very true, very true.
So, you've kept her hanging there, hope, saying when is it going to happen, when is it going to happen. Now the Lord is saying when it happens for her, it will happen for you. Eh?
Amen.
Because you've also been hanging there, and that is, you know, praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 I tell you more? Okay, that's enough. Huh? Okay, that's the message for you. Amen. So now some of you people are... so indifferent, eh? But you go and do this at home, eh? Because I'm seeing somebody doing it. The only one who really, really opened his spirit, eh? And now he actually got it, eh? Him, who opened his spirit, because it is, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like salvation. It is there, you just receive it. You don't have to pray for it, you don't have to fast, so you don't have to anything. If somebody says, I'm fasting to be saved, you know there's something wrong with that. With that person, it is there for everybody. So, and that's what the scripture says. So go home and say, as a believer, I have a right to be baptized in the Holy Spirit according to the promise of God. So now I'm expecting it tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And maybe because maybe standing here makes you uncomfortable, but go home and open your spirit, eh? And let it happen for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. And the rest of you also, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, today, you remember the other time some of you made pledges for Kampala conference? Eh? You were expecting the money. We were kind of expecting the money today. Okay? But we still have another Friday before it happens. Eh? So, we have a conference of pastors here in Kampala after Guru. So, we need you to give generously towards that. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each and every person who connects here to this wonderful, wonderful season where you bring us into spirituality. Now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because they receive promotions, they receive business ideas, they receive connections in business. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for somebody who even receives a ticket, a plane ticket to fly somewhere where she wants to fly, but has not the means. And yet it is a promising thing. Now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because she receives a miraculous provision for her flight in Jesus' name. Flight for the whole flight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Who is that person? Wants to fly somewhere like in the next short while, 2 or 3 weeks. Who is she? Is she here? It's a lady. So that may she receive it, she might be listening on, you know. May she receive it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. We will go
for you. That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256 755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.